should I use both?
Okay, we're going to start at Chedem Abed at the bottom. Ein bein sferin l'tfilin u'mezuzot, ela shasrim nechtevim b'chol lashon, u'tfilin u'mezuzot enan nechvot ela ashurit. Rashbag omer af b'sferin lo itiru shichtevu ela yivanit. Okay, what we have here is a continuation of the aim veins, of all these differences. I just want to point out the structure of the Gemara is the same in all of them. That as soon as it says aim vein, they say, oh, it must be that this is what there is between these two things. That if this isn't a difference, then this is a difference, then the rest must be the same. Now, it's not necessarily true just because they say that there's no difference other than this. They could be saying that this is the main difference, right? And that it could be understood as, this is the main difference. There might be other differences, and particularly in this case, the Mefarshim talk about, and the different sources that even in the Yerushalmi, they list other differences between them. So they do list other differences, and it doesn't mean that this is the only difference. So I just want to point that out. Even though the Gemara will assume that, therefore, other things are the same between them. Okay, so what are we talking about here? So this Sfarim, which seems to be Sifrei Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, all of that. Tfilin u'mezuzot, okay, which were the parshiot that write of Shema and the other parshiot that go inside the tefillin. So what's the difference? Svarim nechtevim b'chol lashon. You can write the Torah in any other language, according to Tanakama. And tefillin u'mezuzot have to be written Ashurit. What's Ashurit? That's basically Hebrew that we know today. The Hebrew letters, the Hebrew script. I'm going to show you here. Okay, we're going to see this Ktav Ivrit and this Ktav Ashurit. The Koran has a nice sign. Apparently the Shomerim still use the Ktav Ivrit. Mm-hmm. And here's a sign that you can find in, where did they get it from? Somewhere here in the Shomerim community somewhere. I don't know if it says. It just says from Cholon. And here is the Ktav, that's Ktav Ashurit, ours. And the Ktav at the bottom is Ktav Ivrit. It looks nothing like our letters, right? Nothing at all.
Nothing.
Okay, now, I also read that the Ktav Ivrit was used often on coins. It's like the next in line in significance. It was Ktav Ashurit, and that would be always used for holy documents, Lashon HaKodesh, and Ktav Ivrit would be used on coins and things like that, where they wouldn't want to use the holy language on coins and, you know, chulin things. Okay, so now, they say, so Tfilin Mitzvot have to be written in the regular Hebrew script. That's Ashurit. There's a difference of opinion why it's called Ashurit. Maybe they brought it with them from when they went to Ashur in the Galut. Unclear exactly why it's called Ashurit. Rashbag omer, af besvarim lo itiru shichtivu ela yivanit. When it says that Sfarim can be written b'chol lashon, according to Tanakhama, he disagrees. He says Sfarim can't be written in b'chol lashon, just yivanit. Again, why exactly yivanit? We'll see later in the Gemara. They give one explanation as to why yivanit was the only language that it was allowed to be translated into. We'll see. So the Gemara starts out and says, "Hala tofram begidin ulatameh tayadaim zev zeh shavim." Okay, one thing is all the kitvei kodesh they sewed. Right, they sewed together the megillot, the pieces. They were written as in megillot form, and they were sewed together. And it was only mutar to do them with gidin. So they say that's all the same for the tefillin and mezuzot and the Sifrei Torah. It's a little difficult to understand what kind of sewing is going on with the mezuzah. And even the tefillin, right? It's, each one is a parsha. You don't need a long megillah.
Right.
But I think the point is that also the... and I'm wondering... I don't know. So clearly it means the Torah also has to be only begidim. I don't know exactly what tefillin and mezuzot are being sewed about. Ula tameh tayadaim. Okay, and then that's what we talked about, right? That all of them are metameh yadaim. We learned about that because of the truma that they were put next to it, and they were worried about the rats getting in. Okay, so for those two things, they're the same, but for how they're written and what language they can be written in, they're different.
This is according to Rashi, it would still be okay if, for whatever reason, you needed to use two small pieces of parchment.
If you needed to. Okay. Usfarim nechtevim b'chol lashon. Uriminu. Now we have a big contradiction. We have a Braita, and we're going to see, according to the chart on your page, you can see there's four answers to the Braita, and each one there's a question on until we get to answer. Answer number three, there's already... No, answer number... I'm sorry. There's five. There's five altogether. On the fourth one, there's already... No, there's a question, but they answer it up. And on the fifth one, also, there's no... So numbers 1, 2, and 3 are all going to be rejected. Number 4 stays, but then there's also a number 5. So we're going to see this contradiction. Ur minhu. Mikra shektavo targum, v'targum shektavo mikra, uktav ivri, eno metameh tayadayim, ad shechtivenu b'chtav asherit ala sefer ubidyo. Okay, what does this mean? If you have a pasuk that's supposed to be written in Hebrew, and it's written in translation, or if you have something that's supposed to be written in translation, and it's written in Hebrew, okay, in the ktav asherit, uktav ivri, or if it's written in ktav ivri, eno metameh tayadayim, so what do you have here? You have a braita that says, okay, we're going to understand after, what does this mean, a pasuk that's written in the targum, and a targum that's written as a pasuk, right? What exactly is this case where there's something that's supposed to be in a different language and then is written in Hebrew in our Sifrei Torah, we'll see. And if it's written in Ketav Ivri, all those things, if they're written not the way they're supposed to be written, right, if it's a foreign language that's written in Hebrew, or it's a Hebrew that's written in a foreign language, or if it's written in this Ivri text that we saw over there in the Koran, eino metameh tayadayim, it's not considered kadosh, basically. Ad shiyachtavenu b'chtav asherit ala sefer. It has to be written in k'tav asherit ala sefer ubidyo, and with dio.
In.
Okay, now this contradicts our Mishnah, because what does our Mishnah say? That it can be written either b'chol lashon, right, does it matter? Or, according to Rashbag, it can be written just in Yevanit, but not in any other language. Okay, and this seems to indicate no other languages. So, what's going on? This seems to indicate that it's like the Tefillin u'Mezuzot, that are Einachtavim El Asherit. This, by the way, is a Braita, but it appears very, very similar Nusach in the Mishnah Yadayim. So, it's also a Mishnah, but for all intents and purposes, we'll call it a Braita, because the exact text is the text of the Braita. It doesn't match 100% to the Mishnah. Okay, so how do we relate to this mission, this braita that says has to be asherit? And okay, we'll see. Amar Rava, lo kashya, kam begofen shelahem, kam begofen shelanu, kam begofen shelahem. What does that mean? It can be written. Okay, this is like you've ever seen Yiddish written in Hebrew, right? Yiddish can be written in English language, English letters, right? Or it can be written in Hebrew letters, Hebrew also, right? We can have transliteration. It can be written in English. So, if it's written in another language, right, but it's written in our ktav, right, our letters, so then that's our Mishnah, and then it's okay. But kam begofen shelahem, but the braita where it says it has to be written ashurit, means when you're trying to write a different language, like Greek, in Greek letters, okay, that's a problem. But if you write Greek in the text, in other words, you write it in Hebrew letters, transliteration, then it works. So, Amarle Abaye, what kind of, how could you say this? B'mayu kimta lahi. How are you setting up this braita? B'gofen shelahem? If that's the case, that you're writing Greek in Hebrew letters, in Asherit letters, we should say, my iria, why does the, if you notice, there's two things here. Number one, it has to be written Asherit, but number two, or really number one, the beginning of the braita starts talking about only if it's a mikra shektavo targum, or it's a targum shektavo mikra, if there was this flip. But my ear, they say, why would it have used that lashon? Mikrash k'tavo targum v'targum shektavo mikra. Afila mikrash k'tavo mikra v'targum shektavo targum nami. Right? In other words, dehaktani, because it says in the Braita, ad shechtavenu asherit ala sefer b'dio. So if you're saying that it's a switching of the letters, that whether it's transliterated or not, right, written in our letters or not, it doesn't make any sense, the whole beginning. Why should it be specifically in a case where it's mikrashet ktavot targum? If it's a pasuk that you wrote as a pasuk and you wrote it in Greek letters, well, that's a problem, right? No matter what. It doesn't matter whether it's this kind or that kind. So you said, therefore, your answer doesn't relate to that part at all, and therefore, it's not a good answer. Ela lo kasha, Sabai offers a different answer. Harabanan, harashbag. What does he say? They match up exactly to the deod in our Mishnah. Why? Because Tanakama says, right, and here, in other words, it matches up meaning. Our Tanakama says, Ein bein sfarim, right, ela sfarim dechtavim b'chol lashon. And comes this braita, and this braita holds like Rashbag. What did Rashbag say? Rashbag said, af b'sfarim lo itir shechtavu alivani. He's more machmir when it comes to the sfarim, right? He says it can only be Greek. So the braita also says, we're more machmir when it comes to books. And when it's mikra shodor targum in ktavom, targum shaktavom mikra, then it needs to be written in ktav ashurid ala sefer ubidyo. So they say, that's like Rashbag's opinion. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean it's like Rashbag? I Rashbag ha'ika yivanit. Rashbag says, Rashbag says you're allowed to write it b'yivanit. And this Braita says you're only allowed to write it in Ashurit. So while it's true that Rashbag is more machmir, he's not machmir as much as this Braita. So you can't say it's Rashbag. It was like not a good answer because it doesn't answer it up entirely. Elalo kashya. So we'll try something else. Kam b'sfarim, kam b'tfilinu mezuzot. Okay? And tfilinu mezuzot. So now what do they say? They say this Braita was never talking about. Who said, does it say Sfarim here, by the way? Did you notice? It doesn't say Sfarim. Okay, and so, except that it mentions Ala Sefer, but Al Shechtavenu Ktav Ashurit Ala Sefer Ubidyo. But really, it doesn't ever say, it just says Mikra Shechtavot Hagam. We assume Mikra is like Psukim, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, who says it's about Sfarim? It's talking about Tfilin U'Mizuzot, and that's why they're more Machmir, it has to be Ashurit. And then it totally matches our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says Tfilin U'Mizuzot Ein Ktavot El Ashurit. So therefore, this also is talking about Ashurit. And why are Tfilin u'Mezuzot different? Mishum dichtiv behu v'hayu. This is in Shema. V'hayu adarim ha'ele. V'hayu means v'havayatam yihyu. Okay, the way they were created, right? In Ktav Ashurit, right? The base language. So now they say, Mai targum shektavo mikra ika. What does it mean then? Targum shektavo mikra. Okay? Bishlama Torah, if you're talking about the Torah, then I understand what that. Now we're going to finally understand. What does it mean, Targum Shektavo Mikra? Ika Yigar Sahaduta. In the Torah, do you remember with Lavan and Yaakov, they make this, when they make a brit at the end, they make this, it's called Gal Eid, and they say, and they call it Yigar Sahaduta. Okay, it's called, it appears in Aramaic in the text. Okay, Yigar Sahaduta. So they say, that's a case, if you were to write the Torah, instead of Yigar Sa'aduta, you were to write, okay, here's the whole pasuk. Vayikralo Lavan Yigar Sa'aduta v'Yakov karalo Gal-Ed. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Okay? It's just a translation of Gal-Ed, right? Sa'aduta is Edut. Okay? So what do they say? Yigar Sa'aduta, if you were to write that in the text, instead of saying Vayikralo Lavan Yigar Sa'aduta, you were to write Vayikralo Lavan Gal-Ed. Okay? You wrote something that was supposed to be translated, and you wrote it in Hebrew. Or I was thinking also in the Ketuvim, you have in Daniel and Ezra, right? They were written a lot of it in Aramaic. Elahacha, I guess they wanted to find a case in the Torah, though. So that's the example. Elahacha, but if you're talking about in Tfilin u'Mezuzot, there's no Aramaic in there. There's no other language in there. Avalhacha mai mater gum ika. So therefore, you can say, okay, they reject that answer. They say to say that this is trying about Tfilin u'Mezuzot, there's absolutely no case of Mikra Shektavot of Targum Shektavot Mikra. Okay, Mikra Shektavot Targum is easy if you would just translate it into a different language. But Targum Shektavot Mikra doesn't appear anywhere. So they say, Elelo Kasha, Kam b'Megillah, Kam b'Sfarim. Ah, what do they say? The Megillah is in a different category than all the rest of the Sfarim. Okay, as opposed to the other day when we said maybe the Megillah is at a different level and it's not even Mitame Yadayim. Here we're going to see that we're more machmir on the Megillah according to this answer than anything else. Why? Megillah, my time, it has to be written in Ashurit, whereas the Sfarim can be written in any language. My time, amichtiv ba kichtavam v'kilshonam. Okay? So there it says, right? It has to be kichtavam v'kilshonam, as they were written in their language. So what did they learn from here? The Megillah has to be written exactly in its proper language, in the language it was written in. And therefore, if there's a word of Targum, Shektavo Mikra, or a word of Mikra, Shektavo Targum, it's no good. So now they're going to have to say again, my Targum Shektavo Mikra, Ika, where is their Aramaic or some other language in the Megillah? Amara Papa, Vinishma Pitgam HaMelech. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar, V'chol Anashim Yitnu Yikar Leba'alehem. Okay, so now they're going to say the word Pitgam and the word Yakar don't come from the Hebrew. Okay, yakar in Hebrew is expensive, right? Yakar. Here, yikar lebaalehem is kavod. So the word yakar used as kavod is not from the Hebrew language, and pitgam is also not a Hebrew word from the, right, originally from the Hebrew. So those are the two words they find that are targum shektavo mikra. Everyone has a different one. Maybe it wasn't clear 100% whether these were Hebrew or not, and that's why they don't agree. Anyway, we found a case, and therefore we can say that Megillah, because of Kichtavam v'Chilshonam, has to be written in Ashurit, and Alternatively, regular Sfarim don't have to be. That's answer number four, which actually we don't have a question about.
Am I misremembering? I understood the Megillah. The whole point was that they sent it out in all 70 languages so that everybody would understood it. The whole...
They sent it out to people. They sent an Igeret. They didn't write... You're saying
the whole point was to make sure that everybody understood. They sent it out in a whole ton of languages.
Right.
And it seems
that's probably true.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Let me find the exact pasuk. Does it say here? It doesn't say here where it is.
This one doesn't have any pesukim. All the other, all the previous volumes had Torah or, and this one has none.
Interesting.
Of it.
I don't know why that doesn't have it. Where does it appear?
Because it could be an older version.
You
I think they're just making a drasha on it and just saying. In other words, they're taking drasha generally take things out of context, so doesn't. I mean,
it's
kind of strange. Does it say where the pasuk is?
It's right at the end.
It's near the end. I'm looking. Okay. Vayikru Sofrei HaMelech. Right, Medina u'Medina kichtava v'am v'am kilshono. Ah, ve'ela Yehudim kichtavam u'kilshonam. That's what it says. That's why. It's specifically. Okay, here's the pasuk. Good, you ask. Vayikru Sofrei HaMelech ba'etayi b'chodesh ha'shashi u'chodesh Sivan, da-da-da-da-da. Vayikatev kechol asher tziva Mordechai ela Yehudim. ואל הבא, שם יהוד ויקוש, אוקיי? מדינה ומדינה ככתבה ועם ועם כלשונו, ואל היהודים ככתבם וכלשונם. So specifically, it has to be written in their כתב and in their לשון. So that's why they say the Megillah is different. So it actually is the pshat of that pasuk, really.
Except that we know now when Jews live in other countries, they speak a whole lot of other languages, and they were certainly scattered around them.
No, because it means the Jews in their language. That means in Hebrew. In other words, that's what it's saying. And it even says kichtavam in their ktav and in their language, right?
Okay.
So that's why, again, it doesn't necessarily mean it's 100% the pshat there, but they're saying there is some smach. Again, they're trying to answer up a question. So they find some smach in the pasuk that says, here, there's a reason to do it. So we'll say that that's the answer. And it could be Rav Ashi didn't so much agree, and that's why he brings a different answer. Rav Ashi amar, ki tanya hahi bishar svarim, v'rabi Yehudahi. Okay, what does it mean, bishar svarim? So now he's going to distinguish between, according to Rashi, between Torah and Nevi'im u'Ketuvim. Okay, and here we're going to see, okay, and this is going to lead into the whole next sugya, and it's according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ditanya. Now you have to wait a little bit till we get to the answer. Ditanya, Tfilin u'mezuzot ein nechtevim ela ashurit, v'rabbanan itiru yivanit. It says in the Braita that Tfilin u'mezuzot have to be an ashurit, and Rabbanan allowed yivanit, which sounds like Rashbag in our Mishnah, right? Mm-hmm. Rashbag said yivanit is okay. Okay, now... because Rashbag was talking about, sorry, this doesn't match up exactly, Rashbag, because this is talking about Tfilin u'mezuzot can even be Yevanit. Rashbag was saying when you're matir the Sfarim, you can only do the Sfarim in Yevanit, but the Tfilin u'mezuzot can't be in every language. It's not the same. Okay, now, what does it say here? Michlal de Tanakama Aser. So what do you see here? The Tanakama said you can't do it in Yevanit, right? Right, you see that? In other words, right now, they're trying to understand this Braita. They're stopping in the middle of the Braita. We haven't gotten to Rabbi Yehuda yet. The Braita starts off like this. It says, Tfilin u'mezuzot ein nechtevim ela ashurit, v'rabbanan itiru yivanit. So now it's, I skipped something. V'haktiv v'hayu, doesn't it say v'hayu, meaning they have to be in their language? So then they say, so it can't possibly be that this means that Tfilin u'mezuzot, according to Rabotenu, could be in yivanit, because it says v'hayu, right? How could they possibly matir Yevanit here for Tfilin u'mezuzot? So they say the Braita can't read that way. Ela Ema, this must be what the Braita is saying. Svarim nechtevim b'chol lashon v'rabotenu hitiru Yevanit. Just like our Mishnah, right? That Tanakama says Svarim u'mutar b'chol lashon, and Rabotenu is like Rashbag that says no. Svarim are nechtevim b'chol lashon. They're only mutar b'Yevanit. It's the only other language we allow it. That's Chachamim. Okay, so basically, according to the way we're rereading the Braita, it basically matches the two opinions in our Mishnah. Now they say Michlal de Tanakama Asar. Does that mean? Now you have to just before I actually jumped ahead a little. It's when it says Rabotenu Hitiru Yevanit, it sounds like they're matir more than Tanakama. So it sounds like Michlal de Tanakama Asar. Does it say, it seems that Tanakama would be Oster Yevanit. So now they say, no, Ela Ema, like I said before, Rabotenu lo hitiru shichtivu Ela Yevanit. In other words, Tanakama matured everything, and Chachamim said, no, just Yevanit. Okay? Now, we haven't gotten to Rabbi Yehuda. Now we're getting to it. V'tanya, and it says on this, there's a bright on this, that says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Av kashi tiru rabotenu yivanit, lo hitiru ela b'sefer Torah, umi shuma aseh detalmai ha-melech. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, so when you now have this machloket, Tanakhama says any language of the Torah, and comes Chachamim, and they say, no, just yivanit. So Rabbi Yehuda comes and says, when they said Yevanit, they were only talking about the Torah. They weren't Matir, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, just the Torah. And why? Because of a Maaseh of Talmai HaMelech. I don't know if you remember the story, but Talmai HaMelech, okay, he took over. And it says here, D'tanya, Maaseh b'Talmai HaMelech, Shekines 72 zkenim, V'chnisam b'72 batim, V'lo gila lahem al makinsan. Okay, he took 72 Chachamim, right? Like this, So, and then what did he do? He put them each in a separate room. Okay, he wanted them to write this. This is the Septuagint. This is the Septuagint. Thank you. The Septuagint, this is the rabbi's story of how it came about. Okay, this is their explanation of how the, how do you pronounce it?
Septuagint.
I haven't used that word in a long time. Okay. So, this is how it came about, the Greek translation of the Torah. So he puts them into 72 rooms. He doesn't tell them why. Everybody goes into their room, and he says to them, write me Torah Moshe Rabchem, translate it for me into Greek. Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lev kol echad ve'echad etza, v'yiskimu kulan l'dat echad. Okay, now what does this mean? God made a miracle that they would all write the exact translation. Okay, that's not such a miracle. What's the miracle? The miracle is that each, there were certain psukim that they each translated differently against the pshat. And this is the rabbi's way of explaining, right, our tradition of explaining why the translation there doesn't match in a certain places our translation, our text. Okay, so now they're going to go through a bunch of different examples. Okay, so what are the different examples? And the point is that the miracle was if every single 72, right, each of the 72 people all changed each of these places. V'katvu lo Elohim bara bereshit. Instead of bereshit bara Elohim, they all translated as God created in the beginning. Because what were they worried? If it said bereshit bara Elohim, what would they think? That there were two gods, that there was one called bereshit and one called Elohim. And bereshit created Elohim, and that there were two gods. And now we're going to see a bunch of different examples where it sounded like there were two gods. Naaseh Adam b'tzelem u'dmut. What is the real pasuk? Naaseh Adam b'tzelmenu u'kidmutenu. Right? So they change it to the singular. I will make a person b'tzelem u'dmut. Vayichal b'yom ha-shvi'i, vayishpot b'yom ha-shvi'i. Right? What does it say? Vayichulu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am, vayichal Elohim b'yom ha-shvi'i. It sounds like, from the pshat, that he finished his work on the seventh day. Right? Mm-hmm. He worked on the seventh day according to that. So they translated it differently to say he finished his work on the sixth and he rested on the seventh. Zacharu nekeva bira'o v'lo katu bira'am. Okay, there's a few different explanations what this is coming to what the issue is. So it says somewhere else, Zacharu nekeva bira'oto. And then it says Zacharu nekeva bira'am. So it sounds like there's some sort of disconnect here, right? Between whether he created them as two different people or he created one person, right? Because also there were different explanations, but the one that seems most likely to me is the, right, the one is that God created man, right, and then created woman from his rib, right? And therefore he created one at the beginning, but then the other version says he created them both as one. So they said basically, let's make it Zachar Nekeva Bara Oto. Hava erdava avalesham svatam. Okay, there the pasuk says Hava nirdava nivalesham svatam. That's in Migdal Bavel. Again, it's God talking. We. How could you be we if you're one? So they change it to singular. Vatitzchak sarah bikroveha. Okay, what does it say? Vatitzchak sarah bikirba. Right, she laughed inside. Now Abraham laughed also, but only Sarah gets reprimanded and Abraham doesn't. So they say there must have been a difference, right? They wanted to explain why only Sarah gets reprimanded. So they say it must be that she did it publicly. She told it to other people. Bikroveha and not bikirba. Kiba apam hergu shor bertzonan akru avus. Okay, here the pasuk is kiba apam hergu ish ubertzonam ikru shor. This is Shimon and Levi, the brachad of Shimon and Levi when Yaakov dies in Vayichi. So what does he say? That he didn't want it to be that the Jews are murderers, right? They'll say the Jews are murderers. Even Yaakov calls them murderers. Right, that would be potach pet. So instead, they use the lashon of animals instead. Vayikach Moshe tishtov ve'et banav v'yarkivem al noseh b'nei adam. Okay, here's different interpretations. It says v'yarkivem al hachamor. So why did they want to change it al noseh b'nei adam? Some people say they didn't want him to think that Moshe sent his family off on a chamor because it's not kavod. Okay? There's a few different explanations given, but either which way, they wanted to change it from chamor so that he would assume it was a gamal or it was, you know, a horse or something more mechubad. There's a few other explanations that don't say something different, but anyway, stick with that. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim. Okay, this is Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashvu b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba me'ot shana. Okay, and what did they change it to? Asher yashvu b'mitzrayim u'b'shar aratzot arba me'ot shana. Okay, there's a problem here with the pasuk because this is the how many years they're going to be avadim in Mitzrayim, right? And the 430 years it says in this pasuk don't match up to the years that they were actually there. Okay, so they say, oh, it was Mitzrayim and other lands. In other words, there was this issue, and that's how they account for the. It wasn't all the time that it was the time of Yitzchak where they were living in Eretz Plishtim and they were living right in different places. They were living in Shaar Arzot, they were living in Canaan, which wasn't yet their land. You can say that was part of it. The point is Gir Yezaracham Eretz Lo Lahem, right? So you call all those lands Eretz Lo Lahem. Vayishlach et zatute b'nei Yisrael ve'el zatute b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. Okay, here it says atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado, and they wanted to write right, why they changed to Zatute? Forget this one. They wanted to say the children. Because Sandeath of Israel.
The nobles of the children of Israel didn't have, since nobles are identical with lads, as mentioned earlier, they translated it as lads, so nobody would have suggested that there was nobility.
But why wouldn't they want nobility here?
It would be false.
Because it wasn't the case. It wasn't really the nobility. It
was to denote either importance or lowliness.
Mm-hmm. So they're basically trying to say that both these are.
Let Ptolemy think that it was important, but it wasn't.
Why young? He sent the youth of Israel who brought offerings. So why were young men sent to perform that service? So so the word za'atute means. I see. The atzile means the young. Men, but it wouldn't look so nice. So he used the word za'atute. They used the word za'atute, which means the best of the young people. Okay, and that would explain. Lo chamor echad mehem nasati. Sorry, that was what it says. Lo chemed echad mehem nasati. Okay, there it says. Right here it's. Right, vayichar leMoshe meod. Right, this is in Bamidbar. He gets angry at them. Vayomer el Hashem, al tevin amulchatam lo chamor chad mehem nasati v'lo ra'yot et chad mehem. I didn't take anything from them. Right, so they change it to lo chemed because it's not. I think chamor is again not a respectable animal. That's the concept here, right? They also wanted to show that Moshe didn't take anything else. It's not just he didn't take a chamor. So he didn't take anything of value from them. Asher chalak Hashem alecha otam lahair lechol ha'amim. Okay, here is right. This is the pasuk from Dvarim. Right, that God has given to all the nations. Right, it says upen tisai necha shamayim avarit at Hashemesh ve'et hayarech ve'et hakochavim kol tzva shamayim. This is actually a very problematic pasuk. V'nidachta v'shtachavetam lahem. That God gave to all the other nations, right? What does it mean? God gave what? Avodah Zarah to all the other nations, right? That sounds like God gave them idols to worship. So what does it say? It says, Asher chalak Hashem Elokecha otam lahair lechol amim. He gave out to be light for the people, not to be worshipped. Vayelech vayavod Elohim achirim asher lo tziveti leovdam. Okay, the pasuk says, Vayelech vayavod elohim acharim v'yishtachavu lahem u'lashemesh vayarech olchot tzva hashamayim asher lo tziviti. That I didn't command them. So what do they think? That I didn't command them? In other words, I gave to them, but I didn't command to them? Right? It sounded like God created the Avodah Zarah, but didn't command them. But didn't, in other words, that God, the assumption, if you didn't say, they changed the pasuk to, I didn't command them to worship them. But if they didn't say, right, Rashi says, Shim lo katvu la ovdam, mashma shelo tziviti shiyihiyu. Right. If you see it without the word, they translate it to say, I didn't command to you to worship these avodah zarah, right? But if I said I didn't command them, it sounds like someone else created them. In other words, that there was some other god that created them. V'katvulo etz irat haraglayim. V'lo katvulo ve'et ha'arnevet. This is the best one. Okay? In the non-kosher animals, it says et ha'arnevet. So instead of calling it an arnevet, they called it etz irat haraglayim. Why? V'pnei she'ishto shel tamai arnevet shma. Okay, they didn't want people to think that they stuck his wife's name in the Torah. Her name was Arnevet. Okay. Rashbag Omer. So this is all to tell us all the different ways that that when they translated the Torah into Greek, they changed it, right, so that there wouldn't be problems. And this is again also a way of explaining why things appear there differently. I assume that this isn't all the differences. I'm sure there's other differences. And this is all coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda, who basically said that this was the answer of Rav Ashi, who said that Rabbi Yehuda says you could only translate the Torah into Yevanit because of this issue of Talmai HaMelech, who came and said, you have to translate it. So therefore, we had no choice. But nothing else can be translated, right? No, the Nevi'im U'Ketuvim can't be translated. So it ends up that there's something more Hamor about the Nevi'im U'Ketuvim versus the Torah, but only because of circumstance. Okay? And that's how you explain the Mishnah and the Braita. That one is talking about the Torah, and one is talking about Nevi'im U'Ketuvim. Okay, now we're going to go into Halacha L'Maaseh. Rashbag Omer, Ach B'Sorim Lo'itiru Shechtivu Eli Yevanit. Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha K'Rashbag. The only Yevanit is allowed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time at Rashbag. Why do we hold like Rashbag? Amar Kra Yaft Elohim L'Yefet, V'Yishkom Bo'alei Shem. Barav shel Yefet, Yubo Ale Shem. They learn it from here, right? Yefet is from the Greek, right? The Greeks come from Yefet. So because it says Yaft Elohim LeYefet, that Barav shel Yefet, Yubo Ale Shem, you can translate to Greek. He tries to find a source that connects that. Ve'ema Gomer Umagog. What about these other languages that come from Yefet also? Amar b'chia Barav, ahaynu tamad dichtiv, Yaft Elohim LeYefet. Only the best of the languages of Yefet, and that's Yevanit. Yevanit is at the top level of those. Okay, now we're moving on to a new Mishnah. New topic. Ein ben kohen mashuach b'shemen ha'mishcha l'merubeh b'gadim, ela par habal kol ha'mitzvot. Okay, first thing is, we learned this before, that there were two ways a kohen can become a kohen gadol. One is you anoint him with oil, and that's what they did basically in Bayit Rishon. But toward the end of Bayit Rishon, we learned this with Yoshiyahu. Remember when he hid the Aron Kodesh and it was Nignaz? Mm-hmm. So also he hid the Shemen HaMishcha, if you remember. He hid a few things because he knew that the Korban was coming and he didn't want anyone to find them. So he put it away. Okay? He did Gniza on it. And after that, the only way you could be a Kohen Gadol, the anointing, was no longer by anointing. It was done by wearing the Shemona Begadim. As soon as you put on the Shemona Begadim, that was your ceremonial entrance to being a Kohen Gadol. So basically, when this says, Ein ben kohen mashuach b'shemen ha'mishcha l'merubeh b'gadim, they're basically saying the Kohanim Gdolim in Bayit Rishon versus Bayit Sheni for the most part. Right? Because all the Kohanim Gdolim in Bayit Rishon were anointed with oil. And once toward the end of Bayit Rishon and the rest of Bayit Sheni, they were no longer anointed with oil. They were all done by merubeh b'gadim. So what's the difference? What can't you do if you weren't anointed with Shemen ha'mishcha? The par habal kol ha'mitzvot. That's the one thing. There's a par. If a Kohen Gadol makes a mistake, he brings a special par. And that par, he can only do if he's anointed, because the psukim say, HaKohen HaMashiach, okay? I'll read you the pasuk. It's in Vayikra Dalet, pasuk Gimel. Im HaKohen HaMashiach yachta la'ashmat ha'am, v'kriv al-chatato asher chata par b'makar tamim la'ashem l'chata. Okay, so here it says, HaKohen HaMashiach yachta. So only if he's anointed. That's what the Mishnah says. Next difference, ein ben kohen mishamesh lekohen sha'avar ela par yom kippurim v'asiri taifa. We learned about this also in Yoma. That what if you take the Kohen Gadol's place temporarily? The Kohen Gadol is supposed to do his avoda in Yom Kippurim, and he gets tameh at the last minute, and someone goes in his place. Then the Kohen Gadol comes back. So what happens to that guy who worked as a Kohen Gadol? So according to this, there's no difference except The par Yom Kippurim he can't do, and the Asirit HaIfa he can't do. What's the Asirit HaIfa? We learned about it. It's called the Minchat Chavitin. It's what the Kohen Gadol brought with his own money. Every day he had to buy this amount of wheat, and he would make this like a loaf of bread or something, this flat bread. And we would make it into 12 loaves. Six would go with the Korban Tamid Shel Shachar, and six with the Korban Tamid Shel Ben HaArbayim. Okay, so those two things he's not allowed to do. The assumption is everything else, for all intents and purposes, he's a Kohen Gadol. Okay? If you remember, by the way, I don't know if you remember this, but we'll review it. There was a machloket about this, whether he can wear the Shemona Begadim or he can't wear the Shemona Begadim. And according to one opinion we're going to see later, he can't do anything because he can't wear the Shemona Begadim because the Kohen Gadol, right? It's going to be more kin'ah between them. It's going to make jealousy that there's like two guys functioning as Kohen Gadolim. Not to mention, the time by Yitsheni, okay? There were, at the end of Bayit Sheni, we learned that the Herod and the Roman authorities, right, basically made it that every year, every 2 years, they would switch Kohanim Gedolim. So you had a million, you know, lots of Kohanim Gedolim still alive, working. So what, you were going to have, you know, all these guys with Shemona Begadim? It would really create problems. So there's a machloket about whether he does wear the Shemona Begadim and he does do Avoda, or whether he doesn't. Our mission is obviously going only according to one of them, and the Gemara is going to say that soon. So ha le'inyan, back to the first thing. Okay, now, ein ben kohen mashuach b'shemen ha'mishchal ha'merubei begadim ela par ba'al kol ha'mitzvot. So what do they say? Ha le'inyan par yom ha'kippurim v'asirid ha'ifa zev ezeh shavim. So what do you see? When it comes to the par yom ha'kippurim and v'asirid ha'ifa, they must be the same, whether you're mashuach b'shemen ha'mishchal or you're merubei begadim. And then they say, Matnitin deloka Rabbi Meir, di Rabbi Meir, ha Tanya, Merube Begadim may be parabal kolamitzvot, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds, you can still bring the parabal kolamitzvot, even though it says Kohen HaMashiach. We'll see why in a minute. The Chachamim omrim, eino may be. My time at Rabbi Meir, di Tanya, Mashiach, ein li ela Mashuach b'shemen ha'mishcha. Merube Begadim minayin. So, right, it says, im HaKohen HaMashiach yachta, right? So it says, Mashiach implies Mashuach b'shemen ha'mishcha. But where do we learn Merubei Begadim? Talmud Lamar, HaMashiach. They learn from the HaYadiyah that it must be coming to include even someone who's Merubei Begadim, okay? Because it didn't need the HaYadiyah. It could have just read, Im Kohen Mashiach Yachta, right? So HaMashiach seems to be any Kohen Gadol. B'mayu Kimna, to Lo Karabi Meir. If we're going to say that this mission is Lo Karabi Meir, we have a problem. Because Ema Seifa, the Seifa, okay, then we say the first section isn't like Rabbi Meir, but the Seifa Dafka is Rabbi Meir. How do we know? Here's what I said, there's a machloket, and we're going to see it matches Rabbi Meir's opinion. Ein ben kohen meshamesh lekohen shavar ala par yom ha-kippurim v'asirit ha-ifa. Ha lechol divrehen zev ezeh shavin, right? It seems to imply that for everything else, they're the same. Atan the Rabbi Meir, and that's according to Rabbi Meir, Ditanya. Irabo psul uminu kohen acher tachtav. Rishon chozer lavodato, right? So if he gets a psul and someone else comes in his place, when the first guy comes back, he goes back to his job. Sheni kol mitzvot kunag dola alav, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, for all intents and purposes, he's still a Kohen Gadol. He has all the things of a Kohen Gadol, which matches our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi omer, Rishon chozer lavodato, v'sheni, like I said before, eino ra'oi, lo l'Kohen Gadol, v'lo l'Kohen Adiot. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place. He can't be a Kohen Gadol and he can't be a Kohen Adiot. Why? But Amar Rabbi Yossi, here he gives an example. Maaseh b'Rabbi Yossi ben Ulam mitzipori, she'irabo psul b'Kohen Gadol. There was a psul in the Kohen Gadol. We knew who, Rabbi Yossi ben Ulam, they made him tachtav, the Kohen Gadol. Ubama, and then obviously the first guy came back. Ubama selef nechachamim v'amru. Rishon chozer lavodato, sheni en overwe lo l'Kohen Gadol v'lo l'Kohen Adiot. Kohen Gadol mishum eva. We're worried it's going to create jealousy. Kohen Hedyot, Mishum Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'lo Moridim. We can't bring him back down. He was at a much higher level. Ma'alim B'Kodesh V'lo Moridim. So now, what do you have the problem? That the Reisha now matches Rabbanan's opinion against Rabbi Meir, and the Seifa matches Rabbi Meir against Rabbanan. So how do you say that? I'm Rav Chizka in. Yeah, it's no problem. Reisha Rabbanan, V'Seifa Rabbi Meir. We'll live with it, right? In other words, the Reisha is like Rabbanan, and the Seifa is like Rabbi Meir. It doesn't bother us. Rav Yosef Amar, if it bothers you a little bit, I'll explain it differently. Rebbe he unasif la'aliba ditanai. Our Mishnah is like Rebbe, and just Rebbe took one opinion he held against Rabbi Meir, and on one issue he held with Rabbi Meir. So it is one opinion. It's Rebbe. Just Rebbe held yes like Rabbi Meir and no like Rabbi Meir. Okay, we'll quickly finish up the next Mishnah. Ein bein bama gdola lebama ktana ela psachim. This is in the time, now this is clearly a historical Mishnah. It's not talking halacha lemaase anymore, because in the time of, right, when they don't have a Mishkan, you're allowed to do bamot. But once the Beit HaMikdash was created, you were no longer allowed to do bamot. Bamot is where you can make mizbechot in different places, not in the holy place. Okay, so now, in the time when there was a Mishkan, you also couldn't. But when the Mishkan wasn't around, right, when it moved or when there wasn't a Mishkan, you were allowed to do it anywhere you wanted. But now we're going to see that there were two different types of bamot. There was a gadol and a katan, which sometimes are called tzibur and yachid. Okay, so on the bama gdola, you could only do psachim on the bama gdola, and the bama ktana, you would do everything else. Now the Mishnah says, zeh haklal. Kol shu nidav v'nidav karei bebama. Kol sheino lo nidav v'lo nidav, eino karei bebama. Basically, the klal here distinguishes between chovah and not chovah. Anything that was not chovah, you could bring even on a bama ktana. If you decide you want to bring in korban, so you do it on a bama ktana. But anything that was chovah, you have to do on the bama gdola. So now it's weird, because the Mishnah says, the Gemara is going to ask right now, psachim betulo? What do you mean? Then just the psachim, there's a lot of other chovot that you do. So what do they say? Ema ke'em psachim. And Mane Rabbi Shimon, and this matches Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer Av Tzibur Lo Ekrivu Ela Psachim V'Chovot SheKavu Alehem Zman. Ava Chovot SheEin Kavu Alehem Zman Hacha V'Hacha Lo Karev. Now they're going to distinguish. They're going to say there's three categories. One, there's Nidarim and Nidavot. Fine, those you can do anytime on the Bama Ktana. Then within the Chovah, there's two types of Chovah. There's Chovah that's time related. That's all the Korbanot of Chagim and Tamid and all that. And that you can do on the Bama Gdola. But then there's things like the part that we learned about today, of the Kohen Gadol, okay? Or there's Im Nechsiachta, or Im the Sanhedrin, right? There's all these cases of these things that happen. They become they're a chovah, but they're not time-related. They're circumstance-related. Sometimes something might happen that will create a chovah. That is a different situation, and that you can't do on any bama. Lo kan ve lo kan, and that's what the Mishnah says when it says, Kol shu lo ni eno nidav ve lo nidav, eno kareh bebama. And the psachim is coming to indicate psachim and anything like it that is chovah and time bound. So those are the three categories, and that's how they split up. Okay, tomorrow we'll learn about the difference between Shiloh and Yerushalayim.